Morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Time for the morning show, Friday edition. Last one of the week, last hour of the week, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to get it all out of our system.
Yeah, that's right.
We are going to have some fun. We're getting the entertainment news in just a little bit here and keep that theme going a little bit where we got the most played songs on classic rock radio stations this year.
Rock and roll.
Should be a good one. Should be interesting to see what pops up on that list. Also got a list of the best high school movies of all time, Seth.
No, it's your...
It's a Friday show.
Yeah,
we're going to have some fun with
this. We'll have some fun with it. Yeah.
Get into some of these things and plenty more coming up for you where we dive into. We'll also get into our local schedule and got a lot of great things going on in our community we want to put some focus on and put a touch on and get into. We'll do that a little bit later. But we begin with entertainment news.
Okay.
And interesting couple of stories right here that I want to get into. And just kind of go into the Oscars real quick. There's a number of like con and a lot of these different film festivals going on.
Right.
And with them, you usually get buzz. You get a little bit of noise about certain things. And, oh, well, we may know this name's going to show up for best Oscar or something like that, or best film. Dwayne Johnson takes a serious turn as UFC fighter Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine, which had its world premiere Monday in the Venice Film Festival. They have been working on this film for years.
Really?
Years. Okay. They've been working on this one. Dwayne was working on this before he even started doing the Fast and the Furious movies, just to kind of give you a timeline.
Wow.
Of how long. This character that he's playing is somebody that meant a lot to him, and he wanted to not only play, but play right. So part of what he had to work with was also the makeup, because he looks absolutely nothing like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I have seen those pictures, and that's amazing transformation. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, a lot of people, and this is not me saying this, but Nicole Kidman got nominated or won an Oscar for basically having a fake nose. There is that side of it, and then there is Bradley Cooper, who was nominated the other year, but a lot of people said he didn't win because of the prosthetics.
Right.
Adrian Brody winning when he had some of these things. This is something that is a little gray area for people, but on this side of it, people are raving about his performance, and they are going out of their minds about what he has done with this role and everything.
Wow.
Saying that not only is he going to win, but he or be nominated, but a shoe-in to win an Oscar or certain other things.
High praise.
I do think The Rock is a way better than average actor.
Okay.
And I think he has shown that in a number of different things. I've mentioned this before. I didn't mean to watch it, to be honest. I just had it on. But the movie he did, the Disney movie he did, about based on the ride, the journey.
The Jungle Cruise. The Jungle Cruise, yes.
I wasn't really intending to watch that. I got pulled into it. I like Emily Blunt a lot, and that was part of the reason. But he has a couple of scenes in there where, one, he shows that I think he can play romantic lead, but also do drama to a degree. So seeing the results of this is not that surprising, especially if you were like me and watched him as a wrestler and all that.
Sure.
But I do think that part of this happens with actors a lot, where the bar is the people with their nose up in the air have their he's a wrestler in this, and then they see him actually can act and they're blown away. So when the bar is so low and the result is so high, you get almost this overwhelming kind of like
I see what you mean there.
I don't want to say it's too much, but it almost feels like let's hold up here a little bit. I have not seen the movie, so I'm curious to see, is it one or the other, or is it some kind of combination of that? Either way, you're going to be hearing a lot about this movie coming up.
Yeah, and you're so right about the looks, man. It was like, whoa, wow, that was remarkable. I didn't recognize him at first until I saw the caption, and I was like, wow.
Actors,
Wade Johnson.
Going back to Robert De Niro putting on 60 pounds to play a role and everything. It's this interesting gray area that this is what I find more interesting about the subject, or the him being nominated, all this praise, all of that. More all power to him. So I'm happy for him, and I can't wait to see the movie. But this line that we're gonna have to figure out more and more about acting, like what works and what doesn't.
Right.
people really pushed back on some of the aging of the Irishman or the movie that Adrian Brody just did last year with The Brutalist.
Right, yeah.
And I mentioned Nicole Kidman with the nose and or Bradley Cooper, some of these things. Brandon Fraser with the whale and wearing the fat suit and some of those things. He put on a lot of weight for that role.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these different, like, where the line is on this. It's interesting to see where it is. Where I don't think the line should be set is by the people making voting on award shows. And yes, I will raise my hand as one of those people.
Right.
I don't think that they should. I think people should. I think the fans should figure these things out and stuff. The opinions are really better kept to yourself. You know, that's not real acting. I know what real acting is.
Whatever. Yeah.
Get out of here, man. Yeah. Like, you first off, you got to work with the times, and you have to. And if you know anything about this industry, you know that 99% of what you see is not necessarily what the actor wanted, but what the director or the producers or somebody else did.
It's a collaborative art, and it's, if you want your own vision, write a novel. You know, paint a picture kind of thing. Then it's all you, right? But if you're going to be collaborating, you got to collaborate.
The Smashing Machine will be out soon from A24, one of the biggest and rising companies.
Boy, that's kind of, they've really made a name for themselves in a very short period of time.
Yeah. They just seem to be making really good movies. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. And on the other side of things, Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay.
So Joaquin Phoenix won an Oscar a little while ago for The Joker.
Yep.
And at 50 years old, he stopped by The Late Show with Stephen Colbert about a month or so ago. And in doing so, was a little bit kind of coming back a little bit, because many people might remember his last time on The Late Show with David Letterman, where he famously had one of the worst interviews of all time and talked about quitting acting and becoming a rapper and all of these things. It was just one of the weirdest, wilder interviews. It really set his career back a bit.
Yeah, I think so.
And really rubbed not only his fan base, but a lot of the acting community and certainly a lot of casting directors the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Quick note, every single movie you've ever seen, the majority of actors, and especially the name actors, have insurance policies on them.
Yes.
And the more risky the actor, say Nicolas Cage in late 90s, early aughts or whatever, we got to have a lot of insurance on this person.
It costs more, to do that, right?
So therefore, the budget goes up and all of these things. Right. So if you are even a little bit controversial, a lot of people think, oh, they're doing this so that their name gets in the headlines or something. No, they are not.
No,
that is going to cost you, man.
Hollywood is like allergic to risk of any kind. And that's risky. That's a risky thing.
Think about a football coach times a billion. Like, they don't want risk, they don't want distractions, none of that. So he does this and really sets his career back. He gets a chance to do The Joker and, of course, brings it back a bit to a degree.
Yeah.
Well, he stopped by The Late Show basically to apologize for his infamous 2009 interview with David Letterman. And in which he remained in character for the entire painful, awkward interview, this character that he was playing.
Yes.
Quote, it was horrible. It was so uncomfortable. I regret it. I'll never do it again. I am so sorry. In case Letterman himself was watching, Phoenix reiterated, I just need to say I'm sorry. He also joked about returning to the same theater where Letterman interviewed him, of course. And I imagine they did a major exorcism after I left. But I'm bringing this up not because I think it's that necessarily newsworthy, him doing this, other than the fact that he's doing this.
Like,
the accountability part of it.
Yeah.
We ask for this all the time. And I don't think Joaquin Phoenix has ever been more likable than this.
Yep.
Now, I will say, when his brother passed away, River Phoenix, he instantly became one of the most go-to actors in my mind, because I wanted to see, you know, him, and I miss his brother all the time. I miss River Phoenix. I'll admit that. And that's part of my pull to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have enough of this in society, where we're doing these things.
Right.
That was 2009.
Right.
He's kind of made good since then. He could go the rest of his life, never touch that subject, and probably be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He willingly wanted to do this.
Right.
We need more accountability. The bravest, strongest people can own their mistakes, because every single person on the planet that has ever existed makes mistakes.
Yes.
Nobody is right all the time.
That's right.
People that cannot own their mistakes, people that cannot have accountability, do not deserve your praise. Do not deserve your admiration.
They do
Those
not.
Are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cowards, people. They are genuine cowards. A human being that cannot face themselves.
Right.
They cannot have accountability. That is the definition of cowardness to me.
Right.
And I cannot think of a bigger insult in the world than being a coward. And that is a coward to me. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of them in charge of things right now. Yeah. And not a darn one of them have any accountability. This guy, this actor has more accountability than half of the people in right. high positions in our country right now.
And man, to your point, this was, he did this, I think, because he felt the need to do it. I don't think if he had never come out and said anything about it, people would have just been like, oh, that was that weird thing that he did, you know, that kind of thing. It was kind of bizarre. But the fact that he wanted to come out and own it and that sort of thing, yeah, I guess that says, you know, his maturing and everything. By the way, you know, you did mention his brother, and I wonder how what that did to him.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, you lose your brother,
yeah.
Okay, very young, in a very bad situation.
In a very public way,
too. In a very public way. And now everyone turns and looks at you, mm-hmm. like, "Hey, what are you going to do? You know, you're very talented. You know, becoming a superstar. Brother is now gone, and now you're also in the same business, and you're his brother. I can't imagine that did not have an effect on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Early on in his career, and maybe it led to some of his more strange looking choices for his life. I would not be surprised to find out that had an effect.
Certainly, you know, has been able to bounce back. So with that, you know, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily think, okay, well, he doesn't have to. He didn't have to do any of this. Mm-hmm. He's already come back. But at the same time, I kind of think for him, it may have been necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of some of the stuff you're mentioning.
100%. It might have been something he had to do.
A new David Bowie archive exhibit opens tomorrow in London with 90,000 items from his life and career.
All right, I'll see you later, everyone. I'm gonna head over there now.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta. It's gonna take you some time. You gotta get through all that. It's gonna take
90,000. Wow.
One of the items in the collection is a document titled "Memo for Radio Show: List of Favorite Records." As the title implies, it's a list of 15 favorite songs from David Bowie, of 15 of his favorite songs.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's not in any particular order, but I'm just going to read through some of them.
I am so excited right now.
Four Last Songs, Richard Strauss.
Wow.
Right Now from Alan Freed and his rock and roll band. True Fine Mama from Little Richard.
Ooh.
One of the best Miles Davis songs of all time, Someday My Prince Will Come, Miles Davis, the yes. King of Cool.
Yep.
Excelsius from Charles Mingus.
Okay.
One of my all-time favorite songs, Beck's Bolero from Jeff Beck. I cannot really? Tell you how cool that is to see that on that list.
Wow.
That's genuinely one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time. That's awesome. Across the Universe from the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. He recorded that one.
That's
in one
right.
of his albums.
That's right, yeah. Try Some, Buy Some from Ronnie Spector. Mother of Pearl from Roxy Music. Tom Violence from Sonic Youth. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The Electrician from the Walker Brothers.
Mm-hmm. No, well, yeah.
Yeah.
The Walker Brothers, very influenced by Bowie. Or the other way around, actually. I think they were before Bowie. I think they influenced him.
But a wild just list. The Hollywood Argyles. I mean, it just... Oh, God.
Just is that Little Star or no?
Show Know a Lot About Love. Show Know a Lot About Love.
Okay. These are all obscure songs, which is so Bowie, by
it's
the way.
It's very Bowie. It's very Bowie.
But the eclectic nature, man...
I don't.
He was just he inhaled everything. Art was just his life. My God.
Well, you know, I would say he hit more than he missed on these when he would come out with an album and go a completely different direction or something like that. But it's like looking at this speaks so much to that when you look at his music life.
Oh my gosh, it's just you're right. Eclectic is the word. I know the word for him was chameleon. You know that he would change. Then I don't know. There was a basic. You know, thing there. There was a bedrock that he had, and boy, that totally makes sense. Though the different, we had classical music, all the jazz in there. We had old rock and roll. We had new rock and roll. That's really cool.
Bowie could get down with a guitar and all that like nobody. Mm-hmm. He is one of the godfathers of so many different off branches of rock and
that's
roll
correct.
And everything. But that consistency you're talking about mm-hmm. is growing up in a house that my mom loved Bowie. Mm-hmm. Hearing so much Bowie in my life. I think I can, for me, as somebody who doesn't have a musical ear, the most consistent thing about all of his music, again, even in the rock and roll stuff, R&B. He always had some rhythm to his music. There was always some rhythm to it. There was always a beat to it. There was always something like that.
Yes.
In it.
Yep.
I think that's in looking at this list and in comparison, I would say that is the.
Oh, I'm listening to Bowie today. I'll tell you that much.
I hear you. What's new on your small screen, new on your big screen, and new on your local theater stage? Well, on Disney today, the second season premiere of Wizards of Waverly Place. A lot of people excited about that. On HBO Max, the streaming premiere of Warfare, which follows a Navy SEAL platoon fighting their way to an extraction point after they've been overrun by insurgents during the Iraq War. One of the up and coming actors out there, Joseph Quinn, stars in this one, along with a couple of other great actors like Will Porter and some others. I am very excited about seeing that. I want to see that one. It looks, and I don't. I have to be careful with movies like that. You know, I got to watch them, and I got to have like be able to like reference things and stuff. And I want to know if how accurate it is and stuff. It looks like an interesting one. And Friday on Amazon tonight on Amazon, the stand up special, Larry the Cable Guy. It's a gift. Larry the Cable Guy got a special.
I was going to say he hasn't done that much lately. That's interesting.
Sunday Night Football, 7 o'clock on NBC. Your Minnesota Vikings hosted the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes,
should be a good game. Falcons are a lot better this year. It looked like they're going to be a lot better this year.
Right?
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where either of those teams are right now.
Who knows?
We'll see. We will see.
Not too much being in wide release, but there is a couple. I don't know why this is in limited release, but Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. The End Continues.
I love
such
that.
A Spinal
it's
Tap.
Great title.
You got the original directors and cast all coming back for this one. Rob Reiner, Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, the legend Harry Shearer.
Yep.
Along with cameos. You thought you had a lot of cameos in Happy Gilmore. Paul McCartney, Sir Elton John. Sir Paul McCartney and Elton John, Lars Ulrich, a billion other musicians.
I'm sure there's going to be a gajillion musicians in this one, yeah.
I will see it, and I have no doubt that I'll enjoy it just for nostalgia alone.
Oh, boy.
Downton Abbey, the grand finale, rated PG. This is a big one for a lot of you Downton Abbey fans.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, it will not feature the Dame Maggie Smith as she passed away back in September, but if you're a Downton Abbey fan, I'm sure you will enjoy it. And as you might have heard our good friend Pete Schwabe talking about, Stephen King's first story, The Long Walk, has been turned into a movie, and it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, Cooper Hoffman, who looks like a chip off the old block. I got goosebumps talking about that. Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of my all-time favorite actors.
Wow.
And the main protagonist, Mark Hamill, as the Major.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey. Mark Hamill, not a bad thing.
Not only has Stephen King just talked endlessly about how good this is, and he doesn't do that very often. If King doesn't like it, what he does, he doesn't care if his name's on it. He'll tell you.
Yeah,
he got nothing to prove to anybody.
No, he does not.
That it sounds really good, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like 100% or something like that.
Whoa.
It's do good with fans and all that. Mm-hmm. It looks interesting. It looked good. This one he published as Richard Bachman because Stephen King is such a creative that even his imaginary friend is a best-selling author.
You know, it's funny. He tried to hide it for a while, and it didn't work. Sorry. Stephen. Didn't work.
We want to encourage everybody to check out the WFHR newsletter. A new one premiered yesterday.
Yep.
Loved it. I looked through it right away when I got a chance. Great work by the team. Appreciate everybody. And, of course, appreciate Melissa's work on that one. And we want you to add some recipes to our cookbook, everybody.
Yeah.
So what do these two things have in common? Well, you go to WFHR.com, and you haven't signed up for the newsletter, go ahead and do so.
Do that first,
and
right?
While you're doing that, you're going to see a banner go by that's looking for recipes. And what's this all about? Well, we are celebrating 85 years young around here in November. Mm-hmm. And as a build up to that, we had our open house. We invited you all over.
Yep.
And we're collecting recipes for our WFHR cookbook,
which has not been done in 35 years since the 50th anniversary, I believe, was the last time that they did a cookbook. So, I mean, this is to be part of history, everyone. This is a tradition that goes way back. And we want recipes. Pam told us she had some dropped off yesterday. So let's do the old advertising thing. Join the bandwagon, everyone. Jump on the bandwagon and give us your recipes. You can do what they did and just drop them off here in person. You can go to the website. There's a really easy form to fill out with your recipe. It gives you all the questions you know that you need for it. Or you can send us a picture. If you got on a piece of paper, click a picture and you can text it through the text line on the Civic Media app. You can email it to us on info@wfhr.com. There are so many ways you can get it to us. Whatever you do, we want it. So we want to put it in that book.
We've gotten some more entries recently. Thank you so much for that, everybody. Yep. Keep them coming. We want to make this cookbook fun for everybody, fun for our community, and a true community action, a community collaboration. So get them to us at wfhr.com.
Yep.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you're having a good one out there. Had to play a little classic rock to get us into our next subject.
Good idea.
A company called MediaBase monitored classic rock stations to find out the most played songs this year.
Okay.
This is an interesting topic, but it sure may not necessarily be, you know, one to make it into our segments here and everything. Until I tell you the songs and you realize, oh my God, these are considered classic rock songs.
Yeah. This is one of those segments we do that we're not trying to make you feel old, but you may well start feeling that way.
And when you start to feel old, give up that feeling and take on nostalgia. That's what I say. I say trade your old feelings
when,
for nostalgia.
There you go.
And just enjoy the fact that these songs were played so much and they're still around.
And hey, you know, we hear these titles, you're going to be brought right back, man. When you heard it the first time or when you listen to it, you remember that one thing, that relationship maybe or whatever. Yeah.
Like White Wedding from Billy Idol coming up on the list here. Rocking You Like a Hurricane from the Scorpions.
Oh, good Lord.
Or Rocking You With You Shook Me All Night Long from AC/DC. Some of the ones at the bottom of the top 20 here.
Okay.
I Love Rock and Roll from Joan Jett at number 16.
See, now there's one. We're starting now. Yeah.
Okay. Another Brick in the Wall from Pink Floyd from number 15.
Really? Okay. Hmm.
And that number 13, Pour Some Sugar on Me from Def Leppard.
Oh,
boy. Starting to get a little bit more into the 90s there and stuff.
80s and 90s. Yeah, uh-huh. We're getting there.
Carry On My Wayward Son from Kansas. Sweet Emotion. Sweet Home Alabama. More Than a Feeling.
70 songs. Those are all 70 songs.
Get in there. Now you've got We Are the We Will at 7 and 8. We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions from Queen.
Yeah. Basically the same song because they're back to back. Anyway,
old classic rock days, you couldn't separate those. They
they were
together.
That's right. Yeah.
That's how it always, I think every time I ever played, it was yes, always that way. Crazy Train from Ozzy comes in at number 6. Might have gotten a jump or maybe not. It's just a popular song.
It is a very popular song. Yeah.
And then your top 5 most classic rock songs played on radio stations. At number 5, You Give Love a Bad Name from Bon Jovi.
No, dear.
Such a lame song title, man. I'm sorry.
I know. It's not a... I mean, personally, I'm not a fan of the song.
Terry's just... I can feel her at the back of my brain right now. Just to pound,
seething. Yeah.
At number 4, Here I Go Again from Whitesnake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's classic.
Whoa.
That's considered classic now. For the definition of classic music, a song has to have been in the public domain for 10 years.
It's been out there for 10 years.
That's all it takes for a song to be considered classic. Let's see. So songs from 2016 are now considered classic music.
Oh, dear.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Don't do... Now you make me feel horrible, James. Well, man, I'm
really doing a bad job on this segment. At number 3, Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses. At number 2, Welcome to the Jungle from Guns N' Roses.
Okay. Well, so that's strictly... We're hitting the 80s very hard now. The 80s rock very hard. Okay.
And at number 1, Living on a Prayer from Bon Jovi.
Of course.
The number 1 classic rock song played on radio stations.
Oh, my gosh. It's one of those things that you play it and everyone starts screaming along to it. Oh, man. No. So here's the thing. Do we have to wait another decade before, you know, the rock of the alternative stuff from the 90s to be considered classic? Or will that never be considered classic rock?
Yeah, it's so weird for me to hear anything with distortion in it and think it's old.
Yeah, seriously?
Like, really,
yeah.
It's something about it. Like,
I don't know.
Things.
Like, because they still play the stations that played the 90s, play all those, you know, quote-unquote grunge, you know, the alternative stuff. But but they do not play that on classic rock stations. Mm-hmm. Not very much, apparently.
Well, you can maybe sing any of those songs if you'd like at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Golden Anniversary Variety Show.
Except Living on a Prayer. If you do that, we're gonna come take you off the stage.
We may revolt. We may. they are taking applications if you would like to be a part of things. You want to volunteer. Maybe you want to be a part of the variety show itself. They are looking for acts to participate in their anniversary celebration. You can contact them through their website, wrctheater.org. And keep in mind, we are, of course, looking for volunteers. Be able to
always
take
need
in
volunteers.
This great show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of our local favorites going to be a part of this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. It'll be October 11th at 2 o'clock. There will be light hors d'oeuvres and a reception after.
Nice.
Be a part of this one and get on over to wrctheater.org.
Okay.
And just a little bit of looking behind the curtain, as we've been doing with the production of On Golden Pond that I am directing for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We get to be the leadoff hitter, the first of the main stage shows this year.
Absolutely.
And we are... we are talking about one of the more iconic, I think, American plays in On Golden Pond.
Especially recent plays in the last, well, 40 years, I guess, but yeah.
And while some stuff has not aged and you know, has ceased to be kind of relevant anymore and everything, here is a play that is so of today's times, and mm-hmm. actors, and I mean, characters that are so of today's times.
Right.
Norman is very much Archie Bunker in many ways. There are so many, Ethel is so much of a, almost any universal grandma or mom or something along those lines.
You got it.
The relationships are so ideal. This has been a production, a movie, all those things. Mm-hmm. Broadway play. Very successful.
Very successful.
You have never seen this version, everybody.
That's right.
I will put my name on this until the end of time. This cast and this crew, what they have put together, despite having a novice director, is so darn impressive to me. And what I saw last night, where my actors don't have all their lines down yet, they don't have all their blocking down, and I still would go to show right now.
Very
That's
cool.
That's how good they're doing.
Excellent.
The things that they're bringing to these characters are so amazing. Mm-hmm. And next week, it is really go time for us because we got our opening night coming up at the end of the month, everybody.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We got, let's see, just 2 weeks here? Yeah, mm-hmm. just about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's coming
Almost
up.
Almost there.
September 25th is opening night for On Golden Pond. Be sure to get your tickets, and we'll meet you there, wrctheater.org. And a big thank you to everybody who is supporting WRCT and the great stuff that they're doing over
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick time out, get to our news, sports break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We're going to help you win some Brewer tickets, hopefully, everybody. We got this thing we do on Fridays all summer long, and we're doing for another, maybe a couple more weeks, I believe.
We've been wrapping up,
Given a chance to you to get some Brewer tickets. You text us through the Civic Media app, and you get a chance to be in on this four package of tickets for Brewers to see them play Thursday, September 18th versus the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Text us the keyword family to get a chance to get in on the winning, and all we ask is that you let us know if you won locally, because we are rooting for our local people out there.
That's right.
Hoping you win. This is going to be a good game.
That's going to be good. The whole series will be really good.
Man,
yeah,
that's
I agree.
Be good. I am so jealous of you all out there. Get those tickets and get on over there, everybody. Again, text us through the Civic Media app, family, and good luck to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, I'm pulling an audible. We're going to do a different story than we're going to do earlier.
All right, sounds good.
I had almost forgotten about this one. If you feel like being like binge-watching X-Files right now, it's probably because you've seen this footage. Congress shared a crazy video yesterday of a UFO supposedly taking a direct hit from a missile and surviving it. It happened off the coast of Yemen on October 30th last year. No one had seen it publicly until it was played at a whistleblower hearing yesterday morning. It shows some sort of object moving over the ocean, and it looks like it's going fast. But it's hard to tell with these videos because, you know, of something with the motion parallax that they call it.
Right.
Basically, the drone that shot the footage was going fast, and that can make faraway objects look like they're going fast, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the part everyone's freaking out about is that it got hit with a U.S. Hellfire missile and didn't explode. A lot of people, include some members of Congress, think it is proof of aliens. But could there be a simpler explanation? Of course. A guy named Mark West is kind of the skeptic being turned to for these videos, and he's not convinced it's anything special. He pointed out that whatever it was, it didn't really survive unscathed. I guess that's his big talking point from it. You could see some debris from the impact.
Mm.
His take is that it was moving pretty slow from the start, and even though it looked like it was near the water, it was actually over 10,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
So when it seems like to keep flying after the hit, it's really just falling out of the sky.
Right.
His best guess is that it was a large balloon, maybe a spy balloon, but a ton of people are still not convinced and think it might have been little green men.
Nope.
Which, by the way, if you are an alien and you are a little green person, like that's got to feel really like, dang it.
Man, it's like, come on, man. We're not all green, kind of thing.
I wonder. You know? I have watched this footage a little bit, Seth, and I don't really, I don't know. I don't really know what I'm looking at, to be honest with you, even though that's part of the reason I went through the description for everybody.
Yeah, it's very hard to, see the thing.
Yeah.
And
you see some debris kind of coming from it.
And then it's kind of spinning out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Could be falling. Oh,
So I'm kind of going back just one more time to see, and you kind of see this missile come out of nowhere, and it knocks it out of the sky, and you see some debris come down.
It's twisting and turning like it's falling. That's what it looks like to me.
The calling it unidentified flying object, like the technical term of it, is sure, that works.
That's fair, you know, or UAE, aerial phenomena, UAP, I think, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah. And by now, just as an example to anybody who is just waking up in this time and everything, to show you how crazy the times are, our government years ago admitted to UFOs, and nobody made a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, some people did, but then they're like, but wait, it's not. We don't even need to get into it here, really.
The skepticism is just as high as the believers.
Yeah.
Now, I would say it's a 50-50 thing on most of these things.
Right.
What is also kind of wild to me that is in this day and age where we have such great footage and all this stuff and everything, we're still being kind of. It's Nessie. It's the Loch Ness Monster footage again.
There's nothing clear about it. Yeah. It's the Bigfoot video, right?
I can't remember what comedian said it, but what if it turns out that Bigfoot is just blurry? Like that he really is blurry.
In real life.
And that's why all these pictures blurry, are blurry. I don't know.
He's back there sitting looking at it. He's like, oh, that's a good photo. I like that one.
I think that more times than not, life is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, there is a realistic answer to some of these things and stuff. But I also, there's a part of me that doesn't mind a little imagination with these things.
Sure.
As long as you ain't hurting anybody or anything.
Right. Yeah.
I think that there can be something kind of wonderful about not knowing and that, you know, just, ooh, what could be and everything. Right. You think about all the different tales. Almost every region of this country has like a history of a cryptoid.
That's right. Yeah.
Something, you know, that animal that you only see once in a blue moon or something like that.
They did a song about it on MST3K, as a matter of fact. They go through all the nation's kaijus, as they say in the song. So, yeah, all the big monsters that are in every country.
As we find out more and more of how the sausage is made or how more and more is on camera and all of these things, I'm not, you know, waxing poetic about it or anything. It is what it is. This is how life works. But there is a part of me that's going to miss this kind of stuff for future generations that may not have it as much.
Right.
You know, what about this crazy animal that comes out of Mexico? No, we've seen it by now. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, right.
I can't imagine some younger generations how they're going to handle like Bigfoot or something like that. Like, no, that doesn't exist. That's silly. We would have footage by now. We've got cameras everywhere. We have drones in the atmosphere of the sky that can tell you what a baseball player, what pitch he's about to throw over a county stadium or something.
Well, that's a blast from the past. It's indicative, like you're saying, of kind of the times we live in now, because the whole Bigfoot thing, like you're referring to, it's become almost a religion, to be fair.
Yeah.
You could tell everything you just said, James, you know, we've got no evidence, all these kinds of, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's where we're at right now. People cannot admit that their cherished beliefs could possibly be wrong.
Yeah.
So what they do is they keep moving the fence. They keep moving the fence. Yes. They keep moving the fence, okay? Until that means that nothing can penetrate them, you know? No kind of skepticism is there, you know, and it's not just Bigfoot. I don't want to pick on the people that, you know, that believe in that. Mm-hmm. It's any number of things. It's all the kinds of things. Humans desperately need something to believe in, man.
Yeah.
And this is where we're at right now, is they'll pick just about darn near anything to believe in very strongly.
I've got my certainly got my beliefs and things that I hold close, but to be honest, I kind of enjoy being wrong. You know, not always, obviously. I mean, we all like to be right and everything.
We do.
But
we do.
There's something about learning that is so enticing and so much fun to me.
It's exhilarating.
That I think it's worth it. So
I'm with you.
You know, if I'm the world's biggest Bigfoot believer, and it turns out I'm wrong, I feel like I'm okay with that because I found out my answers. I got what I wanted.
That's right.
I wanted to know the answer. Is it about the answer? Is it about, you know, you, or is it about the journey for some people?
Right.
I don't know if some people actually do want to find the Loch Ness Monster, or they just want to chase the Loch Ness Monster.
That's a great point, too. And the other thing that I say, the dark side of this, is that all of the believers out there, there's a grifter that is going to take your money because of what you believe in. So That's the downside of all this.
Does Bigfoot have the greatest PR team in history?
Possibly.
Like, I mean, they've been
TV relevant. Shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Radio shows? Yeah. Movies? I mean, think about all the documentaries? Oh, my gosh.
If you are looking to watch the TV show Finding Bigfoot, I can save you, five seasons worth of everything, everybody. They didn't find him.
They didn't find him. Or any evidence that he ever existed.
None. So. Whatsoever. Five darn seasons to find Bigfoot. You come up with nothing. For shame. For shame.
Nothing else. It should have been just looking for Bigfoot.
There's a billion titles you could have just
changed the title.
Yeah, you'd find nothing. You got five seasons. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We're going to spend some time on some good stories of the day. We're going to wrap up the week on a good note. Mm-hmm. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. One more segment for the week, and we'll be taking a break on the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Mm-hmm. Got a great week lined up for you next week. Got some important, fun content and shows and show news. We got some very important show news for you next week. We're going to be listening Monday, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
We'll be getting into that then. For now, we get into our schedule and some good stories of the day and good news stories around the world, great events in our area. I want to kick off the segment reminding everybody, a friend of our station's called to report her cat missing this week. She is gray. The cat is gray with white markings. It's a male named Onyx. Last seen in the Wasatch Avenue area in Grand Rapids. If you happen to see it, have any information, give them a call, 715-697-1781, 697-1781. Of course, I want to remind everybody that we got a great Rapids report lined up for you today. Be sure to join us at WFHR.com for that.
Yep.
You can stream all of our episodes over there. And one of them, we'll be talking to our friends from Assumption Catholic Schools. Matt Zakowski's with us.
Oh, very nice.
A lot of things going on over there. Yeah, we'll be getting into
there. Yeah.
And then after that, our great friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau are giving us an opportunity to talk to Friends of Rapids Music.
Oh, yes. The festival's coming up.
September 20th, the festival.
Wow, a week away. Yeah.
Beautiful, wonderful, incredible Robinson Park right here in Rapids from 12 to 9. We'll be talking about the lineup and all the great things going on with that event.
I was looking at the lineup, and as far as I know, Ben Shittick is in at least two bands that are playing.
At least. Ben's going to have a busy day.
Yes.
It's going to be such a fun fest. We'll be talking about that with our friends from FRM during the Rapids report today. A little bit later in the day over on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, 4 o'clock to 5, Playmakers.
Playmakers.
Thank you to Quality Plus Printing, giving us an opportunity to talk sports with all of you. Yes. It's our live call-in sports show. Mm-hmm. Call in, join the conversation. We got plenty to talk about. The game from last night, of course.
Right.
The Brewers and this series that's coming up.
Yeah.
Like the one that they got against the Dodgers, where you can win tickets by texting family to us.
Very good.
Through the Civic Media app. You can also listen to us through that app.
That's
and you
right.
can flip stations real easy, everybody.
That's right. You can go listen to some sports talk, and then you can listen to some other talk, and then you're going to want to stay tuned, of course, on 105.5, because we got football later tonight, yeah. everybody. High school football. We're going to get Nakusa on the air for the first time this season. They take on Wetoma at home. 6:50 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff for that one. Randy and Michael on the call.
It's going to be a good one. We're looking forward to that. And on Playmakers today, I got a couple stats for Seth about the 30 for 30 guys and how many have done it and some of those things
that
and some
like
other
fun.
Great stories there. On Saturday, right here at WFHR, our pregame kicks off at 9 a.m. for Wisconsin Badger football at Alabama. Ooh, I hope it's a competitive game.
You know, right now, I cannot tell you where on television you can find that game, but I can tell you on radio where you can find that game, every game for the Badger football team, and that would be right here, everyone. So take out the guesswork. Just throw it on the radio.
Yeah. We got you covered.
Got Matt LePay, of course, the grand voice of Badger sports. Yeah.
You ain't going to find much better than Mr. LePay.
No.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. And again, a big thank you to Matt for the bumpers and all that.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Do appreciate it.
Appreciate our friends at the local VFW post. We really do appreciate them. They have a Wisconsin Rapids VFW community blood drive happening today at 2711 Redden Road right here in Rapids. It kicked off at 9 this morning, going till 1. Head on over there and donate if you can. If you are able, please do make an appointment. You can do that by giving them a call, 877 877- 232-4376. Mm-hmm. You can also contact them through the website, versity.org. Mm-hmm. And big thank you to our VFW for hosting this and having this. We appreciate them. Absolutely. That blood drive, again, going till 1 o'clock over at 2711 Redden Road right here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. And want to remind everybody, a lot of big things going on in the community tomorrow.
Yep.
Big Saturday around here. One of them, the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
Goes from 8 to 1 at 220 First Avenue South of Wisconsin Rapids, right along that beautiful Wisconsin River. Go check that out. Support local. Check out some of these great things that our vendors have. The Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market, 8 to 1, Thursdays and Saturdays, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Also coming up tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock and going till noon at the Saratoga Town Hall, 1120 State Highway 73 in Wisconsin Rapids. It is the Wood County Agricultural and Household Hazardous Waste Disposal Clean Sweep. This is something that they do a couple times a year, everyone. So if you have automotive fluids, batteries, cooking oil, degreasers, drain cleaner, paint thinners, pesticides, and fertilizers that you no longer have a use for, you can bring it there and they will safely dispose of them. And it is, of course, free of charge. So bring all the chemicals you have there. Please do not bring electronics, pressurized cylinders, explosives, ammunition, or medical waste. Those cannot be taken care of for this clean sweep coming up on Saturday from 8 to noon at the Saratoga Town Hall. And then later on in the day, our good friends over at Jeremiah's Crossing are having their annual ride-a-thon.
Yeah.
Families, friends, and the public are invited to join them to cheer on the students there. Fun is, I love this sentence, fun to be had. There's fun to be had because there are also going to be raffles and food and kids' games available as you watch what the students have learned this year at Jeremiah's Crossings. They're located at 2440 County Highway X near Babcock, and that's going from 11 to 3. This is such a great program that they have at Jeremiah's Crossing. It's what was the word? Equine therapeutic horseback riding.
It's and, a really fun,
which is fun to say, but it's also it's a fantastic job that they do there. Find a way to help if you. This is a great way to support them as well. So head on down to Jeremiah's Crossing and check it out.
A big thank you to our friends over there. They do great work. Appreciate them. And Seth, want to remind everybody, your days are getting numbered for this
weekend. This is the weekend, everyone. Monday is the final day to get books to the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church for the fall book sale. 310 First Avenue South. It's just on the in the parking lot off of Goggins by the glass doors. Monday is the deadline, everyone. So get your books together. If you have not done so, do it this weekend. Fill up that book bin so we can empty it. Get ready for October 9th through the 11th. That is the community book sale. So that's coming up sooner than you think. So get ready to get new books into your bookshelf by cleaning out the old ones. And it's also a great cause. It's for scholarships for Mid-State. So that's where all the money goes.
Yeah, be sure to drop those books off, everybody. And big thank you to everybody who already has.
We
greatly appreciate you all doing
that. Thank you.
A lot of really good stories out there for you, everybody. One of them could be you winning some tickets for the Brewers.
Ooh, that'd be great.
We got this package of four tickets we want to get in your hands. All you got to do is text us through the Civic Media app, family. Text us the keyword family and get in on the possibility of winning, everybody. We're rooting for you. Text that keyword to us.
Yes.
Looking at some good stories from around the globe, we spin the globe and we end up in Iowa, where three construction workers used a trampoline to save a kid from a house fire.
Oh, wow.
He was trapped on the top floor and needed something to land on. They also saved two other people. All three workers suffered injuries. One was second-degree burns on his upper body and spent a night in hospital, but he'll be okay. Good. The most important thing is everyone survived and they are all right.
Mm-hmm.
This story certainly seemed noteworthy to me over the overnight hours.
Yes.
We had a lot of stuff going on in our community. We let everybody know out there that we're thinking of them and sending good vibes and energy their way.
Right.
Hope everything is all right.
Yes.
But I mean, these firefighters, man, and these and then there's these construction workers that just like show up. And
I mean,
they're there and they help out.
That's great. Everyone pitching in.
A guy in Canada named Daniel Drouin lost his home in a fire this summer, and he just won a new home in a raffle entered in June. He told a reporter he is the luckiest person alive.
That is so great. Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful story on that one.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And I this one is going to hit home or both of these are. For a 67-year-old guy near Toronto just got his wallet back 51 years after losing it in high school.
Wow.
It's amazing. He said that he thought he lost it but wasn't sure. And so he was...
well, now he found out, yeah.
It was kind of fun for him to just even find out, I really
did lose it. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if, like, over the years, I'm not saying, like, every day, but, like, every couple of years or something, like, it just popped up in his head.
I bet you did.
I wonder what happened to that.
I wonder what happened to that wallet. We all do that, right? Yeah. I wonder what happened to that.
What a great way at 67. Like those things that you don't really think of, like, oh, I'm going to check that off.
There you go.
And this one, I think a lot of us can relate to in some ways of you know, as a kid, you work hard to save up money. Mm-hmm. And a 13-year-old kid in Kansas mowed lawns all summer to save up to buy a dirt bike.
Nice.
Turned out, though, the dirt bike he bought was stolen, so he had to give it back.
Oh, no.
And was out of money because of it. But yep. There is a happy ending. The guy the bike belonged to started a GoFundMe to get him an even better dirt bike. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people online have donated almost $5,000 to help him out.
Whoa. Wow, so that's going to be a really nice dirt bike.
Yeah, yeah, I might even get some money for college.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but I use this story as a trampoline of itself to go into the weekend and to take good energy into the weekend to remind everybody that all of these stories you probably wouldn't have even known if they weren't a reporter. There wasn't somebody out there talking about them. Ask for good stories. Hunt down good stories. Mm-hmm. Be the good stories. There is so much better than good in the world. There's so much better good stories out there, and we always encourage you to get us our local ones if you can. We love local good stories around here. Seth, great show today.
Yeah, great week.
Yeah, have a great one, everybody. Be good to each other out there. Have a great weekend.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.